This is Tuesday night, 16th, and we have a special guest, special opportunities tonight. Those of you that are on tapes, you'll be getting this in the regular Revelation series, and so we're just going to put it on the internet and put it in the series as right in with the Revelation study. We have Stuart and Julie. Ciclango. Got it. And kind of. Now I'm going to tell you the great thing about it before I turn it completely over to Stuart and Julie. We've met each other in Amsterdam. We didn't even know it.
Really?
Yeah. He had come by. He had one of the books that he got from Amsterdam. In fact, he had the prayer book even before Amsterdam, I guess. And he spoke at Amsterdam. Are you going to tell him that story about Amsterdam speaking? Okay, you're on time. All right, I'll tell it. It's difficult to get there financially. And obviously the Billy Graham Association couldn't help everyone. And so he wrote them and they just weren't able. But he wanted to go. I just want you to know in sending me the type of opportunities you gave us, but he wanted to go so badly that he goes out and sells all the corn in his field just for Amsterdam, not for himself and his needs, anything, just for Amsterdam. Went to Amsterdam, and then the association came, and they said, are you the one who sold the field, the corn, and all? Yeah, okay. And they kept talking with him, and boy, they were just taken, as you will be with his story and listening to him, that they had him speak to the entire assembly. So I've heard him speak. And but did not make consciously, of course, that relationship. And I don't want to take any more of Stuart's time, so I welcome Stuart to our assembly. Stuart, you'll put this on.
Are you inviting me to the front?
Yes. Now, if you will put this in your belt. That in your belt. Right here.
Okay.
There you go. And then let me put this on here for you if you don't mind. Inside this way and I can do it. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Now you're on.
Before I share the word of God to you, first of all, I just want to thank the Southwood Bible Church that made it possible for me and my wife to come and visit America. We have read much about America, of course, through movies and through some missionaries that have come to Africa, and of course from friends that have visited us in Zambia. But finally the Lord has made it possible for us to come and see you people in person, so that we may see the realities of America, and that you may hear more about Africa and what God is doing in Africa. And I believe our trip here is divinely arranged by God. And I believe that our coming to America, we've not come here to see the beauty of America. We have come here on God's business. And it's my prayer that as I will be speaking to you, the Lord will open your eyes to see what God is doing in other parts of the world. First of all, to begin with, I just want to share a little bit of our religious background. I was born in 1950. Mom and Dad divorced when I was basically 2 years old. And I was raised by many people. Mom and Dad, when they divorced, my father never raised me up, but Mom raised me up. And before she died, I thank God that she gave her life to the Lord before she died. She had gone through about 12 marriages. I was kept by all these 12 men, my step-parents. And I must confess that they were very good to me. And of course, you know what it is to be raised by so many hands. And my mom grew up from a Jehovah's Witnesses family background. And actually, that's where I was brought up from the Jehovah's Witnesses. Because of my parents, my mother getting involved with so many men, I never went further in my education. So I only went as far as grade 9, that is Zambian standard of education. Then when I stopped the schooling, I decided that I should at least do something for myself. Then by the grace of God, I met Julie, who is now my wife, and we happened to be working in the same organization, that is the Ministry of Agriculture. And she was going to the Seventh-day Adventist. So, which means we had two religions in the same house. She went to Seventh-day Adventist on Saturday, and on Sunday I went to the Jehovah's Witnesses. So, in 1982, there was a man that came from Germany by the name of Reinhard Bonnke. He had a crusade in Lusaka. But before that crusade, there came a group of people that were sharing Christ in the villages. And that's where now Julia went, to hear what they were saying. And of course, I released her to go and hear whatever they were saying. And she attended their camp meeting, and after 4 days, she came back home. The only thing she told me was that, well, my husband, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, well, I mean, I think these are one of the false witnesses. What I know is that the only true religion that is here in the world, it is the Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, just to enlighten you, I didn't go further in my education. In other words, I was expelled from school because of refusing to sing the national anthem, because the Jehovah's Witnesses never want to associate themselves with any government programs. So I didn't actually go further into education because of lack of support, as well as being committed so much to the Jehovah's Witnesses Act. So that's how I stopped education. And when my wife gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, she came home and said, see what I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I'm now a child of God. I said, what happened? Then she said, I have believed in Christ. You mean that's the one thing that you have done? I said, yes, I've believed in Christ. And I said, tell me more about it. He says, you know, Jesus, you know, God sent his son Jesus to come and die for us. And Jesus paid for our sins. And I have believed in the finished work of Christ. All what I've done is believe in him. And right now, I'm a child of God. And I'm also inviting you to go and hear what these people are saying. I said, but where are they now? I said, the outreach has ended. But there is a man who is teaching the word of God in Lusaka. And then within a week, she led me to go and attend a gospel crusade in Lusaka. And when I went to Lusaka, you know, by then I used to drink a lot of beer. I used to drink a lot of beer. I was smoking. I was gambling. I did all what I, you know, a person who is not saved could do. And then when I went to a crusade, I said, I don't think I can stand this crowd. Can I go and drink a bit of beer? And then she said, no. Let's go inside there and hear the word of God. I said, no, I have to drink something. So I happened to skip about 4 bottles of beer. And I went to the crusade. And if there was anything that I feared most before I came to Christ, was about death. You can imagine, I was in a religion that never gave us the truth of the whole thing. We didn't know where we were going. And each time I had the idea of experiencing death, you know, I just felt bad about it. I said, I was afraid of death and I never wanted to sleep in darkness. I prefer to sleep with the light on. Now, when this man started talking about, when he started sharing the word of God, he started talking about death itself, which I feared so much in life. And he was sharing from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto a man to die once, and after that, it was the judgment. I said, well, I'll die, then I'll face the judgment. And yet I was very strong in this region of ours. Very strong. I knew the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You know how Jehovah's Witnesses are. They know scriptures, but the word of God did not profit us anything. It was just by head there. So when this man was talking about life after death, I get glued to the message that he was talking about. And then he started talking to us about Christ. How God sent Jesus to come and, how God sent Jesus to come and die for us on the cross of Calvary. And the reason why God sent this Jesus to come and die for mankind. And what happened from the beginning. And what made us to be what we are now. And then God, you know, provided a way out of where we are now. And before, you know, these charismatics, what they do is that before they pray for people for salvation, they make an altar call. They were making altar calls to allow the people to come in front so that they can pray for them to receive Christ. Now, as this man was in the middle of sharing the word of God, I saw myself that I was lost and I needed a savior. I did not wait for this man to call an altar call. Before this man was calling an altar call, I had already given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this man was actually making an altar call for people to come in front, I had already made things right with God. And I knew that all was well with me. The only thing that Julia could see in me was that I didn't go in front, but I was busy weeping. Just crying. And I saw myself that I was very wicked. I saw myself that I was not actually worthy to live. I saw myself that actually I was even wasting my time in that region where I was. I saw my family, how they were bound up in a foster region. And when the crusade ended, I was very sure in my heart that I had given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that my sins were forgiven. And now when we went back now to our home with Julia, one thing that we noticed was that we had no pastor to look after us. You know, we had just given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were newborn babies in Christianity. But we had nobody to look after us. All what we had in our Bible, in our home was a Bible, with no pastor to look after us. Now guess what happened? A week later. The Jehovah's Witnesses came to our home. Because we never went back to their fellowship. So they started coming back to us to say, why are you coming to the fellowship? We said, I think we have now found the real life. What are you talking about? We are now born again. We are children of God. Then they said, No. I think you have been deceived. Then we told them to say, if we have been deceived, give us time to prove this new life that we have. And then within that week, our friends that we used to drink with beer, of course they were flocking, coming to me. So let's go and drink beer. I said, brothers, I don't feel like drinking anymore. Just give me time. I think, let me see what this life has to do with my life. And you can imagine, within that week, I had a lot of people that were coming from the Jehovah's Witness sect, and also from friends that were coming to entice me to go and, you know, start playing with them. But we stuck to the word of God. We stuck to our new found life. And we were all ourselves in our room. This is the first room that we were in. This one. And then you see what happened was this started. When we gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we discovered that we had no church where to go to. It was all ourselves. No one to guide us. No one to help us understand what we were supposed to read. But all of a sudden, there was a hunger of the word of God in our lives. Every time when we sat, we felt that there was a hunger of the word of God in us. Now, this is where I always want to start from our story of how our ministry started. First of all, this man that you are seeing standing here, I am a child of God and my name is written in the book of life. And now, I always want to challenge the people, wherever I've gone, and I just want to challenge you as well, even as you are here. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that everyone must test himself and see if he is in the faith. Because you see, it's good to be very sure that you are a child of God. Because when you are alive, when we are talking of being born again, we are talking of a person who is connected with God. When a person is living a life of sin, he is disconnected from God. The Bible says in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, when God was saying, let us create man in our own image. He never said, let me create man in my image. He was saying, let us create man in our own image. Does this mean to say there were so many gods? No. There was only one God. But God is in three parts. That was God the Father, God the Word of God, and God the Spirit of God. God has got three attributes in himself that makes him to be one. Now, this very man which God created has to be like God. That means he has to be like God himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit of God. Now, that means this very man that God created, he had also to have three attributes. That means he was to have the spirit, and he had to have the soul, and he had to have the body. For example, I want to have three people in front here. Come here, Patricia, quickly. Time is not with us. Pastor, come. Now, this is God. God the Father, God the Word of God, God the Spirit of God. This makes them to be one. Now God says, let us create this man who should be like us in our own image. That means this very man that God was creating, who was Adam, was to be like God. And now he said, this man had a spirit, he had a soul, and he had a body. That's how the whole man was. That was Adam. In the likeness of God, God created him, Adam. He had a spirit, soul, and body. Now, God told this very Adam that of all these things that I've given you, he was even given the freedom to eat from the tree of life. But of this one tree, you should not eat it. And that is the tree of knowing good and evil, the tree of knowledge. And you know what happened? It was Lucifer, the angel that came down here. And I wish this message that I'm talking about today, this is the message of our hope, and this is the message which every human being must understand. People must know exactly where they came from, and what they are doing, and where they are going. Because many people, they don't know where they came from. Many people, they are living blindly because they don't know where they came from. Many people, they are living blindly because they don't know where they are going. But they have to know where they came from. And this is where they came from. And this is the foundation. It's all started from God. But before Adam was created, there was something going on in heaven. And that's where the whole thing started up. It started up with Lucifer. Now, who was this Lucifer? Lucifer was the most beautiful angel that God ever created. He didn't have those long horns we see him with a long tail. Black with a fork knife. No. He's a beautiful angel. And no one was ever created as beautiful as Lucifer. What was his job in heaven? He was a worship leader. He was a worship leader, a praising team leader. In fact, God created three mighty angels. One was Gabriel. Who was Gabriel? In heaven, he was the foreign affairs minister of God, representing God's affairs outside the universe. And then what happened? The third one was Michael, the mighty angel. He's the commander of the heavenly armies. And then Lucifer, the most beautiful one. And what happened? In the presence of God, all the angels could just see Lucifer. And then pride came into him. I wish all these folks were worshipping me. Pride came into him. And then what happened? There was war in heaven. One third of the angels were deceived by Lucifer. But two thirds of the angels remained with God. And then Michael and the two thirds of the angels, there was war in heaven and was thrown down. And when he lost the battle, his vision, his desire was still the same thing. And when he came down, he found that it was Adam who had the scepter of rulership in his hands. So the same intentions he had in heaven, he says, now here is my chance. I cannot afford to lose the same battle I lost there. But here now is my chance to make sure that this guy, there should be cooked dinner. And what happened? The scepter was in the hands with Adam. See, it hasn't said you should go and see. Now, what happened was this started. When this now Adam, when Lucifer came down here, there was a very good communication between God and Adam. And God was communicating to Adam through the Spirit. And what happened? Man was deceived by the devil. He believed a lie of the devil. And when he believed the lie of the devil, because God had said that you shall surely die, he died spiritually. You are now dead. Go and see. You are saying you are not going to die. And when he sinned, the spirit of man died. And when the spirit of man died, man remained with a soul and a body. A soul and a body. And whatever the children and the son are producing, these guys, the soul and the body, the children resembled their own parents. Whatever flesh could produce, it was flesh. It was soul and body. Soul and body. This body you are seeing here, this body you are seeing, this is Stuart. He came out of Mr. and Mrs. Strong. My father was Johnson, mom was Dorothy. These two people loved one another and they met sexually to have me as a steward. Now when they produced me, I was not a child of God. I was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Strong. It took dad and mom to meet sexually to have me. But with what? With only a soul and a body. So how much I was fed, how much I was looked after, this soul and body was decaying, and one day, then Julia died, but you are not dying, you are still my wife. Come and sit there. The body dies. And what does it remain now? It is the soul. And Ezekiel tells us so. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then the soul remains. Now, as long as this soul is not born again, it has got a case with God. And since it has got a case with God, it has to face the judgment of God. This soul is not dead, it's very much alive. What is dead is the body. We buried it right under there. And this soul is very much alive. And what happens? Whatever we see in the natural, it has started up in the spiritual realm. And what happens when a person kills a person? Before he's judged, when a person kills a person in the USA, what happens? He is not sentenced to jail immediately. What happens? In Zambia, when a person steals or kills a person, he's sent to what we call a remand prison, whereby he waits to go and face the judge. That's what happens home. I don't know what happens here. When you are charged with a case, you are not sent straight to go and see the judge. You are sent to the police station. And before you go and face the judge, you are put into a custody, waiting to face the judge. And after you face the judge, that's when now you are sent to jail. But once you are in that custody, it's as bad as the jail itself. So when a person dies without a Christ, they are put into a spiritual custody. Wow. Yeah? Put there.
Okay.
That's why it is now in the spiritual custody. The consciousness is still there. And somebody blindly comes up to bury somebody, even if he was very rich, And he ends up saying, may his soul rest in peace. What a lie of the devil. There is no resting of peace. That's a lie of the devil. The souls of people that die in peace, there is no resting of peace. There is no one who can ever find peace without Christ. And the Bible says when the time comes, those that died without Christ, those that died whose names are written in the book of life, they shall all be resurrected. Small and great and the first God on the white throne. And whosoever, and everybody will be judged according to the works that they did. And whosoever was not found is written in the book of life. Then they will be cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. Now, what is to be born again? What is to be born again? The desire of God, when he looked at the misery of man, he decided, no, I cannot let this man that I made in my own image to continue suffering the way he is. I must find a way how to bring him back. Yes, he had committed a sin. And the only way to end this sin was that this man must pay for his own penalty. He must pay for his own sins. And the only way to pay for these sins was to find a just man dying for the unjust. And the Bible says, God searched all over. He saw that all men had sinned and came short of the glory of God. There wasn't even one. There wasn't even one found there. Then he decided, no, the word of God must go down. The word of God must go down. God himself came down. The word of God itself came down. And when it came to the Virgin Mary, she believed it. And the Bible says the word of God became flesh and lived among us. That very word of God was Jesus Christ. And I thank God that the Roman Catholics always wants to praise the Virgin Mary. But they should always thank Joseph, because Joseph never attempted to have sexual intercourse with Mary. Because had he done that, then the blood of Jesus was going to be defiled. But I thank God also for Joseph. He was a righteous man, and we should also think about him. Then the word of God became flesh. In fact, Mary believed the word and she conceived the divine blood. Jesus was born. Sinless. Seen among many. Proclaimed among many people. He did all nice, good things, healing the people. Talking about the kingdom of God. And what happened? Then the real climax came down. That Jesus Christ died. For the just. For the unjust man. Him who knew no sin was made sin for us. And then he was put on the cross of Calvary. And when he died, he simply said, it is now all finished. The price of the penalty of sin was paid on the cross of Calvary. Once and for all. And there was darkness all over the world. And what happened? That was the only time that God never looked at Jesus Christ. And he died. And when he died, he was buried in the grave. And you know the story. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he commissioned his disciples to go and preach the gospel, beginning from Jerusalem, and then Judea, Samaria. And he says, you go. I'm with you till the end of all ages. And he told them, I'm coming back again. And then he left into glory. And when he went to heaven, he never went back again in the word form as it was in the beginning. He went into the flesh. He went into the flesh form. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when he went back in glory, it was no longer God in the word of God. It was now Christ in the flesh. Christ in the flesh. And he went to sit at the right hand side of the Father. Jesus is not here. He's right up in heaven. Seated at the right hand side of the Father. What do we have here? He says now he's going to send somebody. Who was that somebody? It was the Holy Spirit. Who is here now? This Holy Spirit is right up here. And while he's here, he has now given us the canon of the written of the word of God. Patricia, come back here. Julia, come back here.
Body and soul now.
Now here we are now. Soul and body. The Spirit of God is here. You are the Christians now. Given the commission, given the assignment to go and preach the word of God to every creature, regardless of who they are, but they need the gospel to be served. Without the gospel, then they are going to be very miserable and they are going to be very lost. When Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, he commissioned the church to go and preach the gospel to all nations. Let me tell you, believers, time for the coming of Jesus Christ is not with God. It is with us. Time is in our hands. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, this gospel shall be preached to all nations, then the end shall come. And then we are going around preaching the gospel with the love of God. This is the gospel. This soul and body, as it is, it needs to be born again. So as we are sharing the word of God to this spirit and soul and body, it has to be born again. Why to be born again? The spirit of man that was lost in the Garden of Eden must be recreated, not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God. So when we are sharing the word of God to the people, we have to bear in mind that it's not our effort. You know, one thing that has really confused, it has really confused this world. The gospel is very simple, which is supposed to be given to the people. But you find that there are so many hardships for people to believe the gospel. There are so many complications in between. The gospel is not being shared the way it's supposed to be shared. Many people are being hindered to receive the gospel because of so many false doctrines that have gone about. And if the gospel is very clear, all the people are supposed to do is to believe in the finished work, of Jesus Christ. So it is we, the believer now, who have been given the responsibility to take the gospel, beginning from Jerusalem to Judea and to all the parts of the world. So when I reach to this kind of a soul, I share Jesus Christ to him, and alone Jesus, and all the finished work on the cross of Calvary. All this soul's responsibility is to believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And once this soul believes the gospel, the Holy Spirit actually sees it to say this person has believed. So what happens? The word of God is preached to this person, and as it is preached in this person, it is believed in her heart. And once the Holy Spirit believes that she has believed with all her heart, then the Holy Spirit, that's what I call, the Holy Spirit himself, engulfs the word of God. It is the Holy Spirit and the word of God that produces the spirit of man inside that person. Just as Stuart, my mother and my father, met sexually. To have me, now the inner person who is to be born again does not need any human effort. Everything comes from God. Our part is to share the gospel. But everything comes from God, and we have to share the word of God. And now it is now the word of God and the Holy Spirit, when they mix in the life of that person, the spirit of man is recreated inside there. He comes back the way he was in the Garden of Eden. So there is a spirit, soul, and body recreated. And immediately that man is born of the word of God, not through the flesh and blood, but if he is born from the word of God, induced by the power of the Spirit of God, then there is a spirit of man recreated inside there. And the minute that is done, there is a connection with God, with that person. He's born again.
This man you are seeing, for him to be where he was eating bread, rice, these other things, to be where he is. But the inner man who is born again does not grow by feeding on the bread and the rice and the tea and whatever it may be. The inner man needs the spiritual food to grow thereby. The inner man. And when a person is born again, for example, can I have somebody here who has ever had a child, a small child, a baby? Okay. When your child was born, today, a child is born. The first thing we know that this child is born, there is a cry. Ah! 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 We know that the child is born. There is life there. That's the most important thing. Now, when for the child to survive, it must live on milk from the mother. That's the second one. The first one is a cry. The second one, the child has to suck from the mother. Now, there is no time where the mother tells the husband, say, today my husband, come back early from work, that we may teach our new son, our new child, how to suck. It never happens that way. When a child is born, the eyes are not seen. It is all time. There is no time that the father can say, okay, now, my husband, my wife, I'm ready, you bring the child so that we teach it how to suck. Then can you open his mouth? Open his mouth. Can he talk? Can you be ready with your breast? Come near, near now. Can you push your breast to the mouth so that it can start sucking? It never happens that way. Oh, what happens? That child is driven by the life within itself. This is the breast of the mother. Can you sit down? This is the breast of the mother. But that little thing, even if it you stick its mouth on the embryo here, somewhere. But the mother won't say, now it's here. No. Because there is life inside. It will pain your legs. Why? It is driven by the life which is inside that. The mother never forces it, but the life within her will force the child, that little thing, forcing it very out of her. Brothers and sisters, when one is born again, there is no way I can be forced to read the word of God. When one has spiritual life within inside, whether there is no pastor or there is no teacher, the life inside him, that spirit of man inside that person, will force him to read the word of God. One way to prove people that they are born again, it is the desire for the sincere milk of the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as new born again children, desire the sincere milk of the word of God. When that little thing is sleeping there, the mother is washing somewhere, the nappy is there, it will start crying for the attention of the milk again. The life inside will force that child. And that's the way we see that this person is really born again. How? The desire of the word of God. If you are born again, brothers, the spiritual man will desire the word of God. And as long as the spiritual man is feeding on the word of God, as Paul said in Acts 20 verse 32, he said that he commends you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and bring you to the inheritance of all the saints. And when we grow now, spiritually, the inner man will be more stronger than the outside man. Because there are two kingdoms fighting within, the flesh and the spirit. And as long as the inner man is feeding on the word of God, more than the outside man. For example, in the morning we ate breakfast. At lunch again we had lunch. And in the evening we have just had supper, as you call it. In the evening again, you want me, you still give me something to drink at home. Already when I noticed you when I came in, guys, you are busy eating there. But after the egg, you are going to eat again. Why? You are beating up the outside man here. The outside man is so strong than the inner man. I wish that's the way you eat the word of God. I wish that's the way we feed the inner man. Because the inner man must be feeding the word of God. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing in the morning, before you drink any cup of tea, go to the word of God. Start reading the word of God. When you are in your working places, read the word of God. Because it's only the word of God that has got the answer for this world. And you see the Spirit of God. We should never emphasize more the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a message going on in the world there. People are talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. People are talking about letting the people know the Holy Spirit. We should not talk about the Holy Spirit. If people want more of the Holy Spirit, let them know of the word of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is found in the word of God. The power of the seed, which is the word of God, is the embryo of the word of God. The life of the word of God is in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in the word. And we must emphasize so much on the word of God, because the power of the Spirit of God is found in the word of God. So people grow by the word of God. So when we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we had no pastor. We grumbled from everything. We ate whatever nonsense. Until maybe 10 years later, God saw our desire. People were coming to our churches. But there was no growth. It was very easy to bring them to Christ. Even as it takes a man and a woman to have sexual relationship, it is all enjoying. There is no struggle to bear a child. It is just love. But how to raise that child, that's where the cost is. To lead someone to Christ is not a problem. But for the people to grow into Christianity, they need to be taught the way of God. I want to tell you one thing. It took us years and years to grow where we are now. We didn't have anybody to lead us. But there was a desire of the word of God. My wife Julia was going village to village, telling them about what God has done in our lives. And because people are tired, sickness, diseases, hunger, illiteracy. So when most of these men are coming like to Africa, just to say a few things about that one, I want you to understand very clearly. When these other people that are coming to Africa, they have big posters all over there which read, "Come to Jesus, He will prosper. Come to Jesus, let's bring all the sick. Come to Jesus." Now, because the Africans have been going through such kind of problems, they are saying, "We go to Christ, we shall prosper." They are saying, "Let's go to Christ, we shall be rich." They are saying, "Let's go to Christ, we shall be healed." And what happens? Because they talk about their problems. And what happens? These meetings end up having thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And in our church right now, we have got one blind man. Ben Hinn was in Zambia. Not just Ben Hinn. Ernest Angry was in Zambia. Not just Ernest Angry. Many other preachers. And Julia personally took this blind person to the crusades. And we have been saying, "Yeah, my brother, just believe. Just believe." And the brother says, "Yes, I know I'll come back soon." This man was actually laid the hands by the so-called giants of faith, you call them in America. "Just believe, my brother. Just believe it. Go home. Just rejoice. You are healed." This man's condition is still the same. No sight. The second time again, another man of God comes in Zambia. I said, "Go back again." This man is led to the crusades. Again, they pray, literally laying hands on him. He's still blind. Three preachers laying hands, he's still blind. Then what I noticed was that the faith of this brother, instead of encouraging him now, they were saying, "No, it's because you have no faith." The thing is, they were saying, because he has no faith, that's why he's not healed. Then I could notice that his faith now in the Lord was coming down. I said, "But they must, of course, things. There should be something. And then what happened? There were these so-called conferences coming. Big meetings. And we were required to be paying money to attend those conferences. And they could invite pastors all over the countries. And we were going to Lusaka. I was still a village pastor. I could go there, attend the conferences. Because I knew to say there was something wrong somewhere. And whenever they came to these conferences, they made us to pay money to be in those conferences. And then they could teach us the word of God. And with these people, maybe they could come 10 speakers. All what we saw, they sat behind there. They were busy drinking coffee, biscuits. Why were we listening from one man after one another? And then they could leave. And I could even approach some of these guys. I said, guys, can you come to our village and see how we are living? Come to a village and speak to our people. He said, no, we have taught you that you may go and preach to your people. Now, what I have noticed is this. I wish the West can know that most of these so-called missionaries who pretend to go on missions and they say we are going to Africa, who say we are going to missions to help other people there, they don't actually go and help the people. They just end up staying in hotels. They just end up staying in towns. Because they are not doing any more good. And in the end, I ended up even hating these white guys who bring the word of God in Africa. I said, no more attending to their meetings. Until then, I heard of a conference. Bill Graham in Amsterdam. I said, well, let me go and see what they do, these guys. I applied. And they accepted me. But they said we should make a commitment. But I didn't have the money. I wrote to the very people that attended the conference, the very missionaries who were coming in Ufraga. I said, brothers, can you help me $500? I want to go to Amsterdam conference. There was no reply. Not even one of them replied to us. So I told my wife, I said, what do we do next? And she says, you have to go. You have to go. I knew that, okay, we had the membership, but the membership, they could not raise such kind of money. We are in villages where it hurts. Because most of the people that, you know, put up these churches, they just end up in towns. But we are right up in the remotest parts of the areas in Africa, where we are preaching and planting churches, where there are no good roads, where there is no electricity. Once it rains, you are cut off. Where there are mosquitoes, and no one would like to go there. And what happened? I don't want to speak softly here so that you may come there. I want to speak hard so that when you come in Zambia, I tell you, I will simply say, in fact, I told you the conditions that are here in Africa. So don't even bother about me. And what happened? My wife simply said, Stuart, let's sell the corn, which we had invested to eat for the whole year. And the whole corn of my harvest was sold. But I could not raise $500, which was required. I raised almost $400. And then I wrote them, I said, I couldn't manage to raise $500. I've only managed $400. And when I went to Amsterdam, I said, you are one of the few Africans that have managed to raise money to pay something. Most of these people who have come here, they have not raised anything. And they interviewed me to find out exactly what I was doing. And I told them, and my desire was to have the word of God come to my village so the people may hear the word of God. Because I don't want them to struggle the way I struggled when I came to Christ. I need them to hear the word of God, because it's only the word of God which is able to build them up. And then after the conference, I came back. And I learned a lot of things in a short time. And all of a sudden, when I came back from Africa, I had that desire now. Here are the people that the Lord has brought to himself. But I want these people to grow into the word of God. Now, God saw our cry. And finally, God raised some men from Australia. In fact, he was a missionary from America. That is Gene Cunningham. And when he came, we had a conference in Lusaka. It was organized by our ministry. And when he came there with his group, after the conference, it was different. It was a different ball game together. He never said, now we are going back, we want to go and watch animals. He simply said, we have got one more week to go to our countries, but we would like to see where you come from. And he was asking pastors. says, where do you come from? I said, I come from a village. You, I come from a town, you what and what. And Jim Cunningham decided to come to a village where we stay. And you know what happened? The type of mode of transport we had, it was a big truck carrying almost 80 people. And Jim was back in that truck with us. And we arrived at the village base 12 o'clock at midnight. And this is the house where I slept. And in the morning, all the people came in when they saw a white man come in the village. And then he shared the word of God to the people. And after sharing the word of God to the people, then he left. 2 years later, that's how now I came with Patricia, this group, this mama who is here. And again, they came to the same village. And when she came, of course, we had a problem. Said, what are they going to eat? Now, because we are worried, these guys, they want to eat nice food, what and what maybe. But the thing is, they slept the way we sleep. Then they ate our own food. And they encouraged the people. From there now, God divinely just brought us together. And the thing that started teaching us was the word of God. And from there now, we made it a point that it is now that God has sent us the right people to come and help us in the reality. Now, let me tell you in closing, in conclusion, that the Redemption Evangelistic Church, headed by me, have decided that as long as God gives us the grace, we have decided to build a Bible training center where we should train men and women of God that will teach the word of God and even pastor churches, not just in Zambia, but in Tanzania, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. These are the neighboring countries where we have personally opened up work. We are operating in Tanzania, we are operating in Malawi, we are operating in Zimbabwe, and our headquarters now is in Zambia. So what did we do now? We said, we are not going to wait for other people to come and tell us what to do. This is the vision God has given us. If it really has pleased God, God will raise the other people to come and help us. So what did we do? We started molding bricks with clay bricks and burning them. And from there now, what happened? We started now constructing. This was a bush, and this is where Cunningham and Pat came to pray. On this bush you are seeing, it was completely nothing. The government gave us this land, which is almost 40 acres, and given us title deeds. What was the desire? It was to build a training center to teach and equip men for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that the answer to Africa is not the aid that we've been receiving. You know what has happened? IMF, the World Bank, the European Union, has been sending a lot of millions and millions and millions of dollars to Africa. And you know why there are a lot of fightings going on in Africa? Every year you find wars, people are fighting, because the very money that are sent to Africa do not end to the intended targets. They end up in the hands of our political leaders. And very little come to our people. They sent millions of dollars for education, medicine, food aid, whatever it may be. But when you look at the sufferings of the sufferings of people are now even getting worse and worse and worse. Now the question is, where does all the aid go to? Because there is a lot of money which is sent to African governments. But no monies actually end up to our people. Poverty has continued. But the church has realized that the answer to our people now is not the aid that we receive. The answer to our people now is not the change of governments. The answer to our people now is not into new presidents. But the answer to our people and the answer to Africa rises in the word of God. People have to know God. We believe that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. We believe that the church has the answer for Africa. And I believe that God is now doing a new thing in Africa. Africa is no longer a dark continent. We are seeing the light coming into Africa. And the light is only coming through the word of God, even as it is written in Psalms 119 verse 132. It says, the entrance of God's word, it brings light and understanding to the simple. We are now understanding it. as the light comes to us, that we are not a dark continent. God loved us as well. And the light has come, and we have the light. And I tell you, Africa is ripe for the harvest of souls. And I tell you that before Jesus comes, there will be missionaries rising from Africa going to the West to preach the gospel. And when we talk about faith in God in Africa, my brothers, we are not talking about, you say, okay, you believe in Christ when you know you have got a reserve bank. You know what you are going to eat tomorrow. My brothers, there is poverty. When a person commits his life to Christ and he says, I believe in God, it is real in reality. He doesn't know where he's going to get the breakfast and the lunch and the supper for his children. When we say we love God, and the Bible says that faith, it is impossible to please God. There are some places that say, okay, they have got the sons of God, but they've got somewhere where they lean on. But when we are talking of loving God in Africa, it is solely depends upon the word of God. So our desire, and I believe in our coming here, our message is still the same. Our message is still the same, that you who are here, as small as you are, I believe you are the right group. Where God is moving, and God does not move with the majority. He moves with the minority. But until Israel prevailed, that's when they gave birth. You must have a desire to take this gospel to end mentions. Brothers, you know, sometimes I even feel pity for you guys. There's a lot of things that you have here in America. And for you to love God, I salute you. But why are you worshipping God when you have got everything? You believe that whatever you have is nothing compared to your relationship with God. And I implore you and he encourage you. Remain faithful to God. Be committed to God. Whatever you have, what God has given you. Yes, you simply say, God, Father, I thank you for these things. But your relationship surpasses all these things. And I want to tell you lastly that Jesus is about to come. He's about to come. But are you ready for him? When you look back in your history, are you satisfied with what you have done? Is he going to say, well done, my faithful servant? In my life, I feel like I've just started my race now. In my Christian life, I think I have just started now. I read the word of God as if I've just started. I preach as if I've just started. I share the gospel as if I've just started. I pray as if I've just started. And my desire is to build a training center. This stuff you are seeing here is going to train men that will change Africa and bring some of missions to the whole world. And once this is built, we see men being trained in here. And if good talk, and if good, I mean, God took me. He said, okay, Stuart, I've done. You have done your part. You come up to heaven. Then I'll be the most successful person. Because this work you are seeing, brothers, it is the work that will change the history of Africa and part of this world. This thing you are seeing, my brothers, here, we require your prayers. As small as you are, you require your prayers. I believe God has brought me here for a purpose. As small as group as you are, you are known by God. People that have made history in the world of wars, they are not mere soldiers, but they are generals that plan for war. But you have never seen a general go in the front to fire a shotgun. A general is not seen in the war front or to fire a shotgun or a rifle, but he's not even seen there. He's in the background. A general. But the man who got the rifle and shot up, they are not in history. And they are generals in the kingdom of God. And who are the generals? I'm talking about people that support missions. You may not be in the forefront, but you can still be here. There are men that have got a desire to go and preach the word of God. I'm not saying that all of you must come to Africa and preach the word of God. Yes, give out whatever you have. But we need men like this guy who is here. We need him. I need him to come and share the word of God. I've never run a Bible training center. God has given me that vision. But I need some, not just to support the work of God, But I need someone to come and teach the word of God just there. So that when we are gone, we are dead. Then God will say, you are the party to play in this. You are the party to play in this. You can see what we have done now. We started with the trains. This is a conference hall where all the branches come yearly to alleviate the work. And this is the inside of the training center. You can see here, these are the class. These are two classrooms and the offices there. It is partly roofed. This place needs to be roofed as well. We are believing God that this part must be roofed within 2 months before the rains come. Then we have got, this is what we call, this is the student dorms. We are going to have 40 students here. But we are believing that the ladies will be, the girls will be separated. But this will be a student dorm. In each side there will be 20 students and the other side is in students, 10 students. It will accommodate about 40. It is roofed, plastered, floored. What is remaining here now are the doors and the windows. And this one you are seeing is a dorm where the students are going to be feeding from. I mean, it's a dining where the students are going to be feeding from. And then we have this one here. This is a missionary guest house. Where when you come to Africa, we don't want you to sleep in hotels. No more. It's game over. You will sleep here. You will sleep here. We shall make sure that we put up everything, toilets inside. In fact, I'm happy I've come here because I've seen what type of toilets you want here. It will all be here. It will all be here. This one is a teacher's house. If someone says, I want to live in Africa for maybe 6 months, or maybe 1 year, we feel to say, he has to have everything there. Everything will be inside there. Now, when you take up the missionary guest house, we have finished the building. It has no doors. It has no roof there on top. And when you look at the teacher's houses, it has no roof there. Now, when you look at these bricks, they are burnt bricks. And in October, there will be an onset of rains, beginning in November. We have about 6 months raining. And here now, we have to make sure that in the next 2 months, these two roofs, and this part of the roof, they must be roofed before it rains. So that this work is preserved. This is where we drink the water from. And when this lady came, she saw how we were drinking the water. Brothers, when you wash our wells inside there, when they dry up, down there, I tell you, I thank God that he has raised us to be what we are. You find even shoes, some shoes are down there. Dead snakes are there. And you wonder how we don't get sick. It is because, you see, these wells end up drying and we send men to go and clean up the stuff there. And once they're cleaning there, the jack that comes down there. Oh, I think it's by grace, I tell you. And then Patricia said, no, we can't allow this. I think you need clean water. And now this guy sent us money, almost $5,000. You know, those guys, they end up maybe charging $8,000 to drill it by ball. But by the grace of God, we have this. Which is now helping the people, the neighborhood villages are drinking clean water. And it is even helping to construct all these things that we are seeing here. And then, of course, when you look at these pictures, they portray where we came from where we came from, and what we are seeing coming up. And when we look behind, we can only see one thing, that God is a faithful God. And we really want to thank God for what he's doing. But our prayer is that you people who are here in America, as small as you are, I salute you for believing in Christ. Because many people that are well living, they have nothing to do with God. They think that when you have got everything, then God loves them. But wait, they'll be surprised. When the whole thing comes to a climax, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And I'm saying, some of you, if I look at you are aging enough already. I won't recommend you to come to Africa. No.
I won't like the big man to come to Africa. I won't like him to come to Africa. The mama there to come to Africa. No. You will do better to remain here and continue to pray for us. You will do better to remain here to continue to pray for us. Because if you come there, you might be bitten by mosquitoes, then you'll die. But if you remain here, you know, if you remain here, it will be much better for the church in Africa. Because we don't need the old people to go in the forefront to go and fire the shots there. We need the other people who are in the closet like the generals to plan for the war. And when the time comes to go in glory, you will see who carried the day in heaven. Missionary supporters. Some of you are young. You are wanted on the mission field. You are young, you. Pastor, without any excuse, I've got your book in my home. And I've written you. I don't know what happened to the letter. I thank you so much for giving me this time. And you, before I end, I would like maybe 10 minutes to ask me questions. 10 minutes. I'm ready to answer the questions. But otherwise, this world is waiting on you and me to share the good news, as simple as it is. Thank you very much.
If you have a Jehovah's Witness listening to you right now, what will you say about the active force of God?
You see, the devil is very cunning. False religion will take many people to hell because it has hindered them from believing the word of God. If you check in the Bible, there was a time when Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, he says, you Pharisees, you hinder many people to enter in the kingdom of God because you stand on the doorway and you make these people, once you convert them to your religion, to be double children of hell. That's what Christ said, to be double children of hell. It means, one, you make them to be bound by only religion. Two, they are bound by sin. So the only thing that I implore to them, if there are any that are listening to me, they should go back to the word of God and find out the truth. Because the truth of the whole matter here, it is to believe in Jesus Christ and on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's all. Because one thing that is there, you know, there is just, we've got a lot of people in Africa that are following this sect and who are deceived. And I was one of them. And I was never free when I was in their sect until I came to Christ Jesus and found the real peace that I needed. They always emphasize of the 144,000. That these are the only ones that are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But according to the scriptures, John saw thousands and thousands of people that came from all races. And he asked one of the elders in heaven, who are these people? He says, these are the people that wash their robes from the blood of the Lamb. They come from all nations. They are uncountable. And those are the Christians we are talking about. But they won't talk about the 144,000 to go into heaven. But I always tell them, who are the 144,000? They have nothing to do with the Gentiles. These 144,000 people are people from the 12 tribes of Israel. And from each tribe, there are 12,000. Which number to 144,000? And the Bible says these are virgins, they have never known woman. So there are a lot of things that need to be taught to them. And I believe that God has saved us from that sect. Some of us, that we may be a blessing to those people. Allow me to testify here. 50% of my church in Zambia right now is from their sect. Yeah. They have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are now. We are free. And I thank God that my mother was also from that sect. And before she died, she accepted Christ. My father last year, he came to visit me. I also made him now to accept Christ. He's now a child of God. Next question.
Thank you very much for coming. Would you close in prayer?
Yes. Please. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that you alone, O God, you are on your throne. And we just want to thank you for Jesus Christ that came to die for our sins. And we just want to thank you for the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Father, I just want to thank you for this group that has actually given me time to speak to them and share to them on experiences that are happening in Africa. Lord, I want to recommend them to the word of His grace, which is able to build them up and bring them to the inheritance of all the saints. Father, you knew this group from the beginning. And I just want to pray for them that let them continue to remain united and to continue to search the scriptures and to continue to be used of thee, that they may make a difference in this part of the United States. We want to thank you, Father, because you love them and you care for them. And you are going to use this ministry for the extension of God's kingdom in this part of America and this part of the whole world. And I thank you so much, oh Father, that you are going to bless them for your glory. Reserve them, Father, for your glory. And bless them, Father, for your glory. It is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. Thank you.